Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
The president has not done that. That's what we are asking him. We are begging him to help him do his work. He has the right to hire and fire. Please, relieve these people of their responsibility. Release them.
A major Nigerian opposition party calls on President Muhammadu Buhari to fire the army commander.
What has actually destabilized this country is the manner in which the elections were held and how the fake results were announced on 27th of May. That is what we would call destabilizing the country, not Muhammadu's party president.
The Malawian main opposition party rejects accusations it plans to overthrow President Arthur Peter Mutharika's government.
Well, we are ready. We have finished the process of registration. We have 930,000 registered voters now. The campaign is underway and we've released our manifesto. We've promised a number of very basic deliverables to the people.
And political parties in Botswana step up their campaigns ahead of the upcoming October elections. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. A major Nigerian opposition umbrella group, the Coalition of United Political Parties, or CUPP, plans to officially petition President Muhammadu Buhari. They want him to fire the Army Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Tukur Buratai, and other security heads. The group says the security leaders have failed their core assignment to protect the life and property of citizens. The demand came after the Chief of Army Staff said the lack of commitment of troops is to blame for the setback in the fight against militant groups including Boko Haram. To learn more about the party's demand, I reach Ikenga Imo Ugo Chinyere, spokesman for the CUPP.
First of all, it's a shame that the president will wait for the opposition to make such a demand. As I speak to you now, 22 states in the country is down, have been taken over by activities of bandits and terrorist groups and all sorts of groups. The president has no solution. Now you say you have service chiefs, or whatever you call them, who are supposed to carry out the instructions of the commander-in-chief, which is to protect the lives of these citizens who are paying this tax to keep the president is eating breakfast every morning. And now, to this moment, they have not executed that ordinary tax. And then you still keep them. Is it for them to be consolidating and learning with human life? But now, ordinary sack your service chief, the ones you have right to hire and fire, who have displayed incompetence by being unable to protect lives and properties of citizens. The president has not done that. That's why we are asking him. We are begging him to help him do his work. He has the right to hire and fire. Please relieve these people of their responsibility. Relieve them.
Some are saying that Buratai was right to blame soldiers at the front lines for the recent setbacks in the war against Boko Haram and that he's been honest, so that a critical focus should be taking a look at to ensure that these soldiers are motivated. You attribute it to corruption. Why?
It is a shame that the head of the troop will come publicly to be telling our citizens that his men does not have the courage to do the work. Whether motivation or no motivation, that is even scaring citizens. That is even making people to get more scared that they cannot even get protection and this will continue to work. He needs to step aside. Whatever formula he is using is not working. You saw the terrible warning by the US and the UK that have celebrated the position of we in the opposition, that almost 23 states down have been taken over. If you have 23 states taken over that is unsafe, out of 33, the Republic is getting on sense. And the people that are starting with this responsibility, they are the problem. They need to step aside. So when your formula is not working, you don't experiment with the lives of people, because those people have a right to live. Then you step aside. Because
are you therefore saying,
is not to tie road.
Are you therefore saying that President Muhammadu Buhari, who was just re-elected, should step aside because his formula is not working?
We have said that during the electoral campaign. You know why I don't want to say that now? So that this opposition is asked what they couldn't get from the ballot that asked the radio for it to resign. I am not saying that now that there's a new mandate, he's barely 2-3 weeks old in office now. that those service chiefs who moved over with him, who have carried out his instructions, and those instructions did not work, he should start by removing them. When he removes them and this thing continues, maybe there is something wrong with him as the president. We can ask him to step aside. But for now, the people that need to step aside are the people who are carrying out these instructions, which has refused to work in the last 4 years. Unless they are saying that we should continue to have patience, why people are being killed in Maiduguri, in Boronu, in Zamfara, why they are learning how to do the work. No. And if you want people to surrender your own side so that they will suffer what other people are suffering. So let us not play politics with this. It is human life. These people have a right to live, and they have entrusted their life to the government. And the government must protect them, because that is the basic responsibility why they are in office.
Well, the government has said that Boko Haram was technically defeated and that they are putting pressure on remnants of terrorists to ensure that the lives of Nigerians are protected and their property as well. You sharply deny. Why?
People issue press statements. They just write anything they like on a piece of paper because it's not their children that is involved. What is technically degraded? These people that are killing people left and center is technically degraded. How is it technically degraded? Because they're not throwing bomb in Abuja. Okay, what about the bandits that has grown? Have they also been technically defeated? These are criminals and bandits moving from those houses of Maiduguri to different parts of the state. And they are wrecking havoc left, right, and center. And you say you have technically... Who cares about technical degradation? Okay, so people should go and be celebrated. We are secure because they have been technically degraded. But they are still killing people. Who goes to bed to enjoy technical degradation or whatever they call it? I don't even know the meaning of that. You need to fix the problem. And if you cannot fix it, you step aside. You are being paid public funds. This is not a favor. Governance is not a favor. It's a service for which the people are taking over your responsibility. You are enjoying the AC in the villa. People are paying the tax. The chief of army staff goes on a long convoy of vehicles. It is the money we are paying as citizens that he's using to enjoy justice. So if you can't do the work that will protect us, you step aside.
Ikenga Imo Ugo Chinyere is the spokesman for the Nigerian opposition CUPP. He spoke with me from the capital, Abuja. Sierra Leonean human rights groups and rape victims are demanding the resignation of Alpha Osman Timbo, the Minister for Basic and Secondary Education. The minister is alleged to have recently said some women are to blame for being raped due to the way they dress. For reaction to the minister's statement, I reached Nasu Fofana, the deputy chairperson for the opposition Unity Party and gender advisor to former President Enes Bai Koroma.
I want to know, is the minister a victim of someone who has been provoked who has raped women? I couldn't see where it was coming from. And I'm going to push for that answer because, in my opinion, I believe he could not have been so vocal about this if he didn't have some personal experience on this issue. This government is trying very hard for the first time to really put the issue of rape on the national agenda, and the president had a declaration which, of course, has been revoked, you know, in lieu of the Sexual Offences Act. I am appalled that he would embarrass not only his government, but basically undermine the work and our experiences as survivors. So first, in that capacity as a survivor, I want him to do us a favor and really resign. Politically, I just think this is political suicide for him, and I think he should be fired.
As a survivor yourself, when you heard the minister make that statement, what was your reaction? How did you feel?
Firstly, when I heard it, I had to cross-check. I was numb. I was shocked. I almost felt like this wasn't happening. This wasn't happening because I don't expect the Minister of Basic Education to actually speak like this. He's also a lawyer. When it sunk in that he had actually said this, psychologically, I was numb. I felt really, really sad because I know what I've been hearing from young girls in my tour all over the country. And it actually made me start thinking, you know, is the government serious about this? And I really believe that the president is really serious about this. But for his Minister of Education to come out to do that, as a survivor, I felt sick. I am still feeling really, really, really angry about it. And on top of that, women started sending me messages, including this morning.
Some people are saying that his minister's statement undercuts the president's determination to fight this scourge in Sierra Leone. Do you think the president's message has been undercut by the statement of the education minister?
Absolutely. So on one hand, we have a head of state who is taking a very strong stance against this issue. And, you know, the organization, the Rainbow Initiative, have met the president so many times, and he has actually shown his personal commitment. So, of course, I'm in the opposition, but I am with my president 100% on this. And I believe him. I know that he really, really wants our voices to be heard. Well, on whose behalf is he talking? Is he talking on behalf of the government? So for me, I really feel like it is not only on the cutting, it's on the mining. It's almost basically telling us, don't believe what the president is saying, or don't believe what the government is saying. And if the president doesn't do anything, then, you know, I have to also hold him, you know, partially accountable that somebody has undermined what he is telling us, and we are behind him 100%, and his action will let us stand with him 100%, or we take, you know, some of that and say, Mr. President, we blame you. We have to blame you. It's your government. Because if people can make reckless statements like this and you take no action, we have to then doubt your sincerity about this commitment that you've given us.
There is also a new Sexual Offences Act in Parliament. What are your views, and do you think it's going to pass?
Yes, yesterday I was in Parliament with a group of women led by the lawyers. We were there to engage the leader of government, business in Parliament. We were also there to engage the head of the committee on legislative committee. Listening to them yesterday, we know that there are some gaps within the current document that is in front of Parliament. And for example, no consideration has not been taken about, you know, children who are between 14 and 17 who still fall under young people and, you know, children. So it's a little bit complicated. So we have these young ones who are actually also committing these crimes. But because of our laws under 14, of course, it can't do anything to them, so they walk away. And of course, if these children also are thinking like the way Minister Tino is thinking, then we have a problem. We're going back again on Monday. We'll be sitting around there to ensure that we get a bill that is useful, that is more stronger, and not just something that, you know, will go to court, which is what we have with most of our bills. And this is why we are engaging the Parliament to see that, you know, what we want in there is strengthened, that it is being led by, you know, lawyers.
Nasu Fofana is the deputy chairperson for the opposition Unity Party and gender advisor to former President Ernest Bai Koroma. She spoke with me from the Sierra Leonean capital, Freetown. The main opposition Malawi Congress Party, or MCP, rejects accusations it plans to overthrow President Arthur Peter Mutharika's administration. Delivering the State of the Nation address in Parliament, the president said he has evidence that the opposition party plans to recruit Al-Shabaab, a Somali militant group, to overthrow his government. His remarks came after the opposition lawmakers walked out of Parliament to protest the president's speech, saying he is illegitimate. For reaction to the president's accusations, I reached Maurice Muntali, spokesperson for the main opposition MCP.
No, it is only unfortunate that Arthur Peter Mutharika can say that, because in the first place, he is misinformed. And such words are not only unfounded, but they are very unfortunate, because those are the words that themselves can destabilize the country, not Malawi Congress Party. Having said that, what has actually destabilized this country is the manner in which the elections were held and how the fake results were announced on 27th of May. That is what we would call destabilizing the country, not Malawi Congress Party per se.
But Maurice, the president said he has evidence that your party is planning with Al-Shabaab militant group to destabilize the country and to forcefully overthrow his government. How do you react to that?
That is being very insensitive indeed. You cannot throw to the public such an allegation that involves other countries. And after all, he doesn't have any proof at all. This is one proof that somebody who not even know what is going around, but he chooses to incite violence, because that is a very, very strong allegation that he cannot even prove.
You said he doesn't have evidence. Are you throwing the challenge to the President of the Republic of Malawi to provide evidence that he has, that you are planning, or leaders of the party are planning, to overthrow his administration using Al-Shabaab militant group?
Let Arthur Peter Mutharika prove what he's saying. Otherwise, he's inciting violence himself. We challenge him. Let him come in the open and prove that. In fact, he has to convince even other countries that he has mentioned that he has that evidence. Otherwise, these are words that incite violence.
The president said the MCP parliamentarians' decision to walk out of parliament is indeed a work of democracy. However, he accuses Lazarus Chakwera, the presidential candidate of the MCP, of being bloodthirsty, despite the fact that he also won election in parliament. So is he going to be in parliament after boycotting the president's speech?
No. By the way, the issue in court is about the Malay Congress Party saying that Peter Mutharika did not win these elections in the first place. And let this nation and the whole world know that we also have evidence that he did not win. So boycotting parliament is only one side language that we are saying no to his presidency and that he did not win. But any other thing around that will have to wait until the court finalizes the issue. Otherwise, the message that has to go out there strongly is that Dr. Chakwera and the Malay Congress Party would not want to recognize Peter Mutharika as president of this country.
So is this resistance, as you call it, the demonstrations, the protests across the country going to continue because you said he did not win the election and he is saying that that is part of the plan to destabilize the country?
No, what we are saying is because of him accepting that he won, he's the one who is causing this destabilization. And these demonstrations are going to continue as long as justice doesn't prevail, as long as justice is not seen.
How sustainable is this plan to continuously protest for the next 5 or so years that he's supposed to be in power?
It is our hope that when justice has been seen to prevail, he's not going to be present. And we're not talking of 5 years. We're talking of now, justice now. And justice means let the choice of the people on 21 May be known and be carried and be told to the people. And then the right winner be the president of this country. But sustainability, it is the people's heart. People will never, never accept somebody who did not win the election.
Are you not worried that your supporters could be in peril if they clash with the police and there's violence in some of your demonstrations and protests?
No, I thought the police are there to protect the people because demonstrations are enshrined in our constitution. They are a constitutional right, and there's no way the police would want to choose the violent path. Otherwise, let people demonstrate whatever they want to say, let them say it, because that is the message that they want to communicate. So we are appealing to the Malawi Police Service that they should exercise restraint and make sure that the people are protected and everything else is protected. And in the end, let justice be seen to prevail.
Maurice Muntali is the spokesperson for the Malawian Main Opposition, MCP. He spoke with me from the capital, Lilongwe. Political parties in Botswana have launched their respective campaigns for the upcoming October general election. The ruling Botswana Democratic Party, or BDP, is expected to be challenged by the main opposition coalition, Umbrella for Democratic Change, led by the Botswana National Front, or BNF Party. But the ongoing feud between President Mokgweetsi Masisi and his predecessor, former President Seretse Khama Iyenkama, is dominating the campaigns. For more about the opposition party's readiness for the poll, I reach Duma Boko, leader of the main Botswana opposition party, the Botswana National Front, BNF.
Well, we are ready. We have finished the process of registration. We have 930,000 registered voters now. The campaign is underway, and we've released our manifesto. We've promised a number of very basic deliverables to the people. One, we want to raise the minimum wage, which is consistent with what the ruling party has maintained, which they called a low-wage economy. We want to raise the living wage. We also want to raise the standard of social amenities that are provided, social safety nets for the elderly and the infirm. And we also want to improve the education and the health systems of the country. So these are messages that are resonating very well with our people.
Realistically, what are the chances of your party to challenge significantly the ruling party, looking at the dominance of the party or the BDP since independence?
Yes. If you look at the results of the last elections in 2014, the combined opposition vote was 54% of the total national vote. And the only reason the ruling party survived was that one of the significant players in opposition politics, the Botswana Congress Party, had not become part of the opposition coalition. And so there was vote splitting on the part of the opposition. If you add the total number of votes garnered by the opposition in the 2014 elections, the opposition should be in power by now. And so this was the first issue that we had to address post the 2014 elections. So we got the Botswana Congress Party, the party that had stayed out of the coalition. We got it within the coalition. And so we now have a truly united opposition, which in our view and on the facts as they appear now, will take power at the next elections. That's the first major contributing factor. The second is the ruling party itself has split with their effort. As soon as the current president took over, first thing he did was to try and use his predecessor as the scapegoat, as the excuse for every failing on the part of the ruling party. And so, resultantly, there's been a huge fallout between the current president and his immediate predecessor, which has resulted in that former president leaving the Botswana Democratic Party, which his father founded and who was the first president of the country. And so we have a situation where the ruling party has itself split. The implosion in the ruling party has hurt them very badly. And so a confluence of these two major factors point irresistibly in the direction of a win for us, the Umbrella for Democratic Change.
Does that mean that you think your chances are significantly improved because the former president, Ian Khama, said that he's going to vote for the opposition?
Yes. Anybody who is familiar with the politics of Botswana will appreciate that Ian Khama is a very influential player in our political setup. He's also a ruler, traditional leader, and has influence in a significant part of the country, which is the central district. That central district, in terms of the constituency layout of the country, produces 17 out of the 57 constituencies that are contested. And so his influence is far-reaching. But he also has influence in other parts of the country. And so any move by him away from the ruling party results in astronomical damage to the ruling party. And this is exactly what is happening. And so our chances have been more than significantly enhanced by this development.
So what's next for your party in anticipation of the election? Do you think the election will be free, fair, credible, and transparent?
We are aware that the ruling party will do any and everything. It is desperate. And we appreciate. This is by far the most challenging time for them. They've never been in a situation where the opposition is buoyant, where they have a massive implosion on their part, and they are sure to lose power. And so they'll become increasingly desperate as the election date draws near. But what will not avail them, any efforts on their part, will not change the course of history as it's playing out, because they have failed for 54 years. Everybody now wants change. People think the country deserves a totally new breed of leaders, and they are looking to us, the opposition. The Independent Electoral Commission, which is the body charged with overseeing elections, can only do so much. It is also a very weak and not well-resourced body. But what will save the election is the resilience of the opposition and the vigilance of the voters, and I believe very strongly that they are all yearning for change, and they will do everything in their power to ensure the integrity of their vote.
Duma Boko is the leader of the main Botswana opposition party, Botswana National Front, or BNF. He spoke with me from London.
You're listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, a new report finds nearly half of all people in the Central African Republic, or CAR, are suffering acute food shortages. The latest assessment by the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, a joint effort by 8 UN and international non-governmental organizations, finds more than 1.8 million people in CAR are facing an emergency food crisis. For VOA, Lisa Schlein has more from Geneva.
Civil war in the Central African Republic erupted in December 2013 and continues to take a heavy toll on its people. The country is in the midst of its so-called lean season, which goes from May to August. This is the period between harvests when people have depleted their food stocks and hunger is particularly acute. The World Food Program reports nearly 2 million people do not know where their next meal is coming from during this period. WFP spokesman Hervé Ferhousel says, unfortunately, the hunger crisis will not be over when the lean season comes to an end.
Nearly 1.35 million people, almost 30% of the population analyzed, will be in severe acute food insecurity, including nearly 275,000 people in emergency during the harvest period, meaning between September and October.
The United Nations reports more than 500,000 refugees have fled to neighboring countries to escape the ravages of war. Nearly 700,000 people remain displaced within the CAR. The signing of a peace agreement in the capital Bangui in February gave rise to hopes the crisis in the country would soon be at an end. Security conditions remain volatile, however, and attacks are continuing with increased ferocity in several parts of the country where armed groups that did not sign on to the agreement are in control. Ongoing insecurity is hampering humanitarian operations and making it difficult, if not impossible, to provide food and other crucial aid to the civilians caught in the midst of this violence. The World Food Program assists about 600,000 people in the country every month. Ferhousel says WFP and its partners are trying to reach more people in urgent need of aid. He says internally displaced people and refugees are the most vulnerable. He says they are totally dependent upon international assistance to meet their food and nutritional needs. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Cameroonians are mourning 17 soldiers and 8 civilians killed by Boko Haram fighters on the border with Nigeria last week. But not everyone approves of the military's actions in the fight against Boko Haram or the separatist forces in Cameroon's two English-speaking regions. Some think the forces have maintained the country's territorial integrity. Others accuse the military of heinous crimes, including the killing of civilians and burning of homes. For VOA, Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Military music is played at an army headquarters in Yaoundé in memory of 17 soldiers and 8 civilians killed by Boko Haram in Darak, a locality on Cameroon's northern border, on June 10. Retired teacher Clement Zana is among the hundreds who have come to honor the fallen soldiers.
Leur sacrifice n'a pas été vain, et nous les vivants, nous savons.
Zana says the sacrifices of the military are not in vain because Cameroon has remained united and none of its territory is under the terrorist control. The government of Cameroon celebrates its military for protecting state institutions and defending the country against Boko Haram and separatist forces in the north and southwest. But some Cameroonians say the troops commit atrocities. A family of four prepares meals in a room in Obili, neighborhood in the capital Yaoundé. 60-year-old Mary Yekong says they have been living here for 5 months since they fled from the northwestern village of Milouf. She says government soldiers attacked the village and torched at least 30 houses, including theirs.
The military man here, her mommy, was crying, said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus."
She says they ran away, leaving behind their old and sick mother when the Cameroon military arrived in their neighborhood, shooting indiscriminately in the air. She says from where she was hiding, she saw two of the troops carry their mother out of the house before setting it ablaze. The government of Cameroon blames separatist fighters for the burnings in which 9 people were killed, but Yekong said she believes it was the military because they used armored cars, which separatist fighters lack. Rights groups have accused Cameroon's military of extrajudicial killings and burning down of homes in its campaign against separatists and Boko Haram insurgents. In one of its reports, Amnesty International said investigators gathered credible evidence that Cameroonian soldiers were pictured in a video carrying out the horrific extrajudicial executions of 2 women and 2 young children. The government insists the army is professional. However, Colonel Jean Legrand Vondo Akutu, director of Cameroon Military Justice, acknowledges there are some cases of abuse.
Ces cas sont déférés devant le commissaire gouvernement après le tribunal.
He says although Cameroon's military has remained largely professional in the execution of its challenging task, there are, however, some cases of abuse which are being investigated by the military tribunal. He says people should know that there is the presumption of innocence until a suspect is found guilty by the tribunal. Akutu refused to give specific examples, but said many cases of abuse have been punished. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
Two camps opened to host Somali refugees in 2011 have been closed and handed to the Kenyan government. The camps hosted those who fled the 2011 famine in Somalia. Kenya says the action is part of its effort to close Dadaab, the huge camp complex that has hosted refugees for nearly 3 decades. For VOA, Mohammed Yusuf reports from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
The United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, turned the Cambios and Ifo 2 camps over to Kenyan control on Friday. As for the refugees who lived in the camps, some have gone back to Somalia and some have been resettled in 3 other camps, Hagadera, Dagahale and Ifo. More than 80,000 Somalis have been repatriated in the past 5 years, despite criticism from rights groups that say they are being forced to return. Kenya's Principal Secretary of Immigration, Gordon Kihalangwa, said the Dadaab camp presents security challenges to Kenya and has lost its status as a place of refuge.
And we still have Al-Shabaab on that end. And look at the proximity. They have almost made this camp look like it has lost the human character. It has lost the human character because then there are certain insecurity activities that are taking place here. And that's why the government is saying that our program, I think it is good that we continue with the voluntary repatriation. And at appropriate time, this camp will actually close.
According to the UN Refugee Agency, the Dadaab refugee complex hosts more than 200,000 refugees, the majority of them Somalis, who fled their country's conflict and recurring drought. Since announcing the plan to close the Dadaab camp in May 2016, the government of Kenya has been reluctant to register new refugees there. Maget Gaze of UNHCR in Dadaab called on Kenyan authorities to address the issue of unregistered arrivals in the camps.
We have 15,000 asylum seekers or undocumented people in the camp. And to me, as with my military background, this is a security issue. 15,000 unregistered people in the population of 211,000 in this border area, this should be addressed as quick as possible.
Al-Shabaab militants have been carrying out attacks against Kenyan security forces and civilians since 2011, the year Kenya sent troops to Somalia to fight the militant group. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Kiti mi na misi na tafauti na we. Waikiki mi na mimi sina shida na we.
And right now it's time for music from our African collection. You are hearing Afande by Bobby Wine, and then Utanipenda by Diamond Platinum. He follows Ujowe with David Lutalo. Ladies Night follows with Eddie Yahweh. Mrs. Wright by Raheem the Wizard.
Na watoto wako wasome vizuri wapate future njema. Madamu wangu na madamu wako wazae vizuri wapate matibabu njema. Inze kotulugu nyoto ndi muganda wo. Bino vienkola viamba kwena bantu wo. Afande sipigani na we na kupigania. Sipigani na we lakini na kupigania. Afande sirwana na wepe nanirira kwe. Tirwana niwe mukagwa nanirira iwe. Afande sipigani na we na kupigania. Sipigani na we lakini na kupigania. Afande sirwana na wepe nanirira kwe. Tirwana niwe mukagwa nanirira iwe. Afande patyalwe nkedi. Afande atyalwe mpe. Jote unafanya, kuna wakati wakulipa. Jote unapanda, diyo utafuna. Panji babateo, ngakwe bolivo. Wewe wale sobiza bubola buse. Afande sipigani na we, na kupigania. Sipigani na we, lakini na kupigania. Afande sirwana na we, be, manirira kwe. Sirwana niwe, mukagwa manirira iwe. Masikini hatoki alika ni mama ingi ya pole. Why? Wadoba kubira girona e na uli muntu. Embele zitunyika na weze zikunyika. Osula bube, ofona bube, na bantu bona bubali bube. Menyuge la Kongo, neme la kona yenga chichenju. Afande sipigani na we, na kupigania. Sipigani na we, lakini na kupigania. Afande sirwana na we, be, manirira kwe. Tirwana ni we, mukagwa nanirira iwe. Afande sipigani na we, na kupigania. Sipigani na we, lakini na kupigania. Afande sirwana na we, be, manirira kwe. Tirwana ni we, mukagwa nanirira iwe.
Senti sina nimerudi tandale. Meshindwa kulipa bima, nimeuza madale. Redio nyimbo mezima, TV ndio hatare. Meneja umebaki jina, nitakia tatale. Ole shabiki zangu, walonisifu kwa maneno matamu. Leo mati zangu, nimitusi tu kwa Instagramu. Kimwana statangu, etina ya nifamu. Hata muna izi kimpigia, ananifukia kama salamu. Na magazeti nyumbani kwa kuku sabani, sunajuaga. Utasikia tafarani timoni kwa zari, amemwagwa. Na venye nilivyo nyonge tabia ya kwa jibu, sinaga. Kama naiona michambo ya matemu wa zamani, nopitiaga. Na yosema ya ramana, sababu wakuna inajua kesho. Anepanga ni ravana, ila mificha ni confidential. Ukisaliomba sana, mumeo nisije kwa kiche kesho. Mana rafiki wa jana, diyo adui mkubwa kesho. Oh, airport. Cheta pofika tama. Kadiriki atajapo unipost. Pindi shozi mekwama. Nankipata si jasi ni mikosi. Oh jasi mezama. Mwana limusuru baba. Kama na mwana mwanangu. Royangu. Tifada mwote. Anakwenda na mamangu. Kwa chaka kikweto na kukuzwa toke. Usilie sandrangu. Mwanyangu. Chikaze usichoke. Wenda kesho za umeangu. Ntavuma tena mambo ya nyoke. Hey, na magazeti nyumbani kwa kukusavari. Sunajuaga. Utasikia tafarani timoni kwa zari. Amemwago yewe. Na vinyeni hivyo nyonge tabia ya kwa jibu. Sinaga. Kama na yona michambu ya matemwa zamani.
Tupenda ni wengine nili nisha sahau kweli hani nasikia ndani huu linichoma aya simatani warasusa na shindo atakulala tangu leo Katuna koleo, yagalanka nywe kongoli wano, sabo yitenga nzepao, katichenga mkosawo jeno, nyana kugamba kosingao, lafuyo ya jalo lingango, mazima nusu zanga mpeo, oh oh oh.
Oh, it's a milestone in my life. The one you went by day. Nawalo njibwe nchonda vintoko Na yonolu mkubye keliso Etege tege simfamba Mukama saba uvumu sorolei Kutuka watu dei Mubuli dei Ejesula kumoyo You know every time I dream Baby, yeah, nga egwe Omulu njenga gwe mama Ya tunuze simbo ya mo oh.
It's a lover's time Sama zimeko na we Just give me the chance To dance with you Luna luna hu Kusabye lupe I'm dancing with you tonight Nani sabi ne manga nawe Esanyo lindo mweni vivelele Awateli mulala lito ukanya nawe Na manga nawe emyaka bukate
DJ Ericom the mix.
Gawanda wala lavalo ginyo na yunge mamo yise wokwabo. Zeruli wetu nuli lanti ndaba malaika nyabo. Ndusima yiwati nyabo wenkula nene fune chitengo. Muli manibo bulungi bo ngabwe bunkola bino nyabo.
Nata nata leto
kamume. Kamome, lelo ken kusanze nsonyi Kazi sibe kukondo, nyabu oh, oh, oh.
It's a lover's night, sabanzi neko na we Just give me the chance to dance with you Luno luna bu, kusabye rupe I'm dancing with you tonight
Come on, baby girl.
Senani sabi ne manga na we.
Yeah, uli chofu.
Esanyuli no mweni vivelele.
Come on, baby girl.
Awateli mulala litwa ukanya na we.
Iteli wa mulala.
Na manga na we, emiaka mukande.
Mwana kwa mwezi, bongo sinzo kwa Mama,
wadenjuba, onifunde tayaka.
Baby, please,
menanga we menanga nota. Yeah. Chirehu nya chiri chimu we mama. Olavi kange chimuli umesa. Malaika kusinga chimu useye ya mbanga. Gomunu jikalala. Yeah, beautiful day.
It's a lover's night. Someone's in a corner way. Just give me the chance to dance with you. Luna, luna, boo. Usabie rompe. I'm dancing with you tonight.
Come on.
Right by Raheem the Wizard. That was Music from the Continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sali, producer Douglas Mpuga, and our engineer for today, John Dryden, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, the misfortune that comes into town does not wear a turban. I'm your host, Peter Clotter in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall. Iran says it will not allow any of its borders to be violated.